In this episode of Inbound Buzz, I talk about the state of lead capture in 2016. What are marketers and brands struggling with when it comes to lead capture? And what are my recommendations on what you need to focus on this year? Also, Google plans to ramp up its mobile algorithm game even further. And is traditional video finally dead? Stick around for another jam-packed episode of Inbound Buzz.
Welcome to the Inbound Buzz Podcast, your weekly jolt of all things digital and inbound marketing, brought to you by redpandas.com.au. Now for your host and co-founder of Red Pandas, Moby Sadiq.
Welcome to Inbound Buzz. I, of course, am your host, Moby Sadiq, and thanks again for listening in. If you haven't done so already, please don't forget to rate the show on iTunes if you like it, or share it wherever you can. It really helps get the show out to more listeners like yourself who may benefit. Now, let's get on to the first buzz. I want to talk about video, specifically live video. And it's been the year of video, right, for the last 3 or so years. But the fact that Australia's first major political debate was streamed on Facebook Live, I think is a huge turning point and sign in the way we consume videos and the way we consume that type of media and will continue to do so in the future. So for our international listeners, and this isn't supposed to be a political thing, I have no interest to talk about politics, but just for context, Australia is currently in the middle of election season and the final debate was streamed on Facebook. They had two other debates that were on TV, as they usually are, and the final one was on Facebook. This is the first that this has ever happened in Australia, and it made for some very interesting observations and stats. Now, the reason why it was so successful is because it allowed people to consume content the way they are now conditioned to consume content. Everyone has a TV, right? Arguably. But everyone has a mobile too. Everyone's on Facebook. And the novelty fact as well, I think, played a lot into it. And the other thing too was the interaction. So for the first time, people could actually interact, not with those limited Twitter streams you see on TV, but they could actually interact, comment, and also share any reactions. You know, those Facebook reactions like thumbs up, happy, sad, angry ones, those ones. Now, just to give you an idea of how well it did perform, before they started, this is just in the intro, it was viewed over 700,000 times, and that was more than the first two debates combined. And this debate hadn't even started. This was just in that intro part. And by the Friday, so this was even before the weekend, by the Friday after the debate, it had reached 2.2 million people. And of course, on the weekend, I'm sure it would have gathered a couple hundred thousand more. I mean, that's not bad of a country of only 22 million people. And one of the biggest stories, and this is quite interesting, it's quite funny, one of the biggest stories was when the opposition leader, Bill Shorten, famously so-called hijacked the debate. This was when he asked people to hit the like button if they wanted a better broadband network. And the live video was overtaken with a flurry of these huge thumbs up, like buttons, and it was a huge story afterwards, right? Now, did that have something to do with his 17-7 win? I don't know. But the fact is, it was clever nonetheless. Now, I wouldn't say this is the nail in the coffin for traditional video and TV. But what I will say, it is definitely a sign, if there was ever one, that you need to get your video game up. That's where people are interacting. That's where people are consuming content. And particularly on Facebook as well. I've spoken about Facebook Live on a past episode. Definitely hit that up if you want more information on how to use Facebook Live. But it is a sign for not only getting your Facebook Live game up, but also using video to promote to and to engage with your audiences. Okay, let's change the pace a little bit and talk about mobile. Now, the mobile internet space is moving quicker than we think, and quicker than we thought was going to move. And in recent years, of course, has gained an incredible amount of attention from the major players like Google and Apple and Facebook. And of course, last year, Google released their mobile algorithm, which gave preference for mobile-optimized sites in the search ranking results on mobile devices. Well, they're actually taking it up a notch, and it's common knowledge now amongst digital marketing media sites that Google is increasing the weight of mobile and mobile factors in coming months. Specifically, Google will be paying increased attention to the speed of your mobile site. So it's not enough now just to have a mobile responsive site. They're now going to be focusing more on the speed site. Now, to this point, Google has released a new free tool. Now, this isn't a new tool completely. If you're familiar with the old page speed tool, and there was also a mobile friendliness tool, they've pretty much combined those tools. And it's nothing groundbreaking, but it's really useful to actually have these tools now in the same place. It's pretty simple. If you haven't used any of these tools or anything similar before, you visit testmysite.thinkwithgoogle.com, which obviously I'll share in the show notes, enter your websites, and then you get a series of results which you can email to yourself. And you get three summary metrics. The first one is mobile friendliness. The second one is mobile speed. And the third one is desktop speed. And they're all out of 100. Now, the thing I like about this tool is they finally made it cleaner, user-friendly, less techy, and it's just nice to use. So more people are going to want to use it. Now, just a word of advice. The tool is, although it's a really good tool and it will give you actionable insights you can take, which you'll probably give to your developer or your technical team to implement, it's pretty harsh when it comes to mobile speeds. Now, just as a bit of a test, I tested the top 10 sites in Australia, and I tested all the sites that weren't Google sites, and most of them fell into the poor or fair range when it came to mobile speed. So don't be too hard on yourself if you have a fairly low mobile speed. The fastest site out of the top 10 was Wikipedia at 91. But to be honest, that was a little bit of an outlier. Most of them were at that 50, 60 mark. And after Wikipedia, the next fastest site was Yahoo.com, which had a score of 68 out of 100, followed by eBay, which had a score of 67. And rounding out the top 10, CommBank had a score of 50 out of 100. So take that mobile site speed with a pinch of salt. Don't be too disheartened if yours is pretty low. Obviously, you want it to be at least in the low 50s, if not 60s, but it's something to work with. Now, onto the featured buzz of the episode, the state of lead capture in 2016. We talk a lot about lead generation and growth hacking on the show, and recently Formstack released the State of Lead Capture in 2016, and it's a 14-page report, which I'll share in the show notes, but I just wanted to share some interesting insights out of the report, and most importantly, some actionable insights and recommendations that you can take. So what Formstack essentially did was survey hundreds of teams to learn about how marketers are generating leads, what are their biggest challenges, and what are the problems that need to be solved. So the split was, just to give you an idea, probably about 55% B2B and 45% B2C. And this was interesting, 65% of all respondents worked in marketing teams of five or fewer people. So not very big teams at all. And what I really liked about this particular report was it put into context of what really is a lead. What is the evolution process of a lead? And I know it sounds obvious enough on the surface level, but when you consider the misconceptions sometimes people have about leads, it really isn't that obvious. So they spoke about the evolution of a lead, right? It's pretty simple. A couple of steps. An individual visits your website. He or she fills out a form, makes a purchase, or otherwise completes an action that puts a name with a visit, right? And I want to focus on this part here. They complete an action that puts a name with a visit. And it's important to understand this fully. A lead isn't just someone who's ready to have a sales job done on them, who's ready to purchase right away. Leads are anyone who has opted in for us to have a conversation with. Then yes, the idea is to move them down that decision-making process. We don't want to be friend-zoned with our leads and all, here's some free information, here's an email. No, that's not the idea. We want to move them down that process to what we call a sales qualified lead, right? Someone who's now sales ready to purchase. And to this point, FormStack actually goes on. So step one was the individual visits your site. Step two is they fill out a form, make a purchase, or fill out something that gives a name to a visit. Step three was your database is populated with new or updated information. So it may not be the first time they're actually coming back to your site. You may be progressively profiling them. And indeed, a lot of tools like HubSpot let you progressively profile someone. So you may want to know 4 or 5 key things about someone, but of course, the more fields you put in a form, the lower your conversion rates for that form will go. That's very well documented. But you may need to know this information. So the first time they come to your site, you may ask for their name, their email address. The next time they come, if you use a marketing automation suite like HubSpot, the system knows that you already have their name and email. So now it might ask you for a little bit more information. It might say, okay, what's your role in the organization? It might go on a second time or a third time and say, okay, what's your budget? When are you looking to buy? So to this point, I like how FormStack talks about new or updated information. And the fourth step was the door to personalization marketing is opened or widened. So in essence, in short, what does that all teach us, right? The evolution of a lead. The thing is, you need to have forms and offers, not only for the people who are ready to buy, but also for people who are earlier in the decision-making process. So the buyer's journey, right? The buyer's journey is awareness, someone who's aware of a problem. Then the second stage is consideration. They now know what they need to do, but they're looking for alternatives and decision. They're looking to make a decision. So it may not necessarily have to be bottom of funnel offers or content. It could be just simply trying to capture their email address, simply trying to sign, get them to sign onto your newsletter or offer them some value in an ebook or a download or something like that. The other thing it teaches us is you need a database to capture that information, whether it's HubSpot, whether it's Marketo, whether it's Salesforce, whatever it is. Even if you're just starting out, a few episodes ago, I spoke about even MailChimp, right? The point is actually capturing that information and creating silos or lists of different segments and people who visit your website. And the third thing is, with all that information, you can now commence personalization. All right, so let's get on to some of the insights from the actual report. Insight one, 78% of marketers said they rely on AdWords and social media ads. Now, I just want to pause here for a moment. Yes, I'm a big believer in inbound marketing. HubSpot espouses the whole point of, okay, creating content that's personalized for the buyer's journey and the persona. And I am one of the biggest advocates of that. I can't stop talking about that stuff. But it doesn't shy away from the fact that if you just build it, they just won't simply come, right? A good blog to be able to get to that point where it's popular and viral and you have a huge community, they say it takes 12 to 18 months. You do need to put some paid effort. And even if it does get big, even if your content marketing has its own audience, you still need to engage in some form of paid media. Now, they said 78% of marketers rely on AdWords and social media ads. And further to that point, when it comes to proving ROI, 34% of people do not know where to start when it comes to proving ROI for paid media. Another 30% struggle to align various marketing channels in reports. So on this point here, the report goes to talk about when it comes to paid, marketers are tracking KPIs that are not linked with actual goals. So instead of sales figures, right, a sales figure will be a KPI, a key performance indicator, they are tracking and relying on vanity metrics like overall site visits and new visits. So there's a misalignment there. Now I've got a couple of points here. Point number one, getting your goals in Google Analytics sorted. So before you do any paid media, before you engage in any paid activity, you need to have Google Analytics sorted. Now, I talk about Google Analytics because it's free. Everybody has it. And I did a masterclass last month that went through goals and setups, and I'll share that in the show notes as well. There's a video and a slide deck. But the point here was, as a takeaway, having a thank you page for all your goals, be they macro goals or micro goals. So macro goals are going to be more bottom of the funnel type goals. So that's macro goals are what pays our bills, right? A lead or a sale or an inquiry. But then micro goals are the smaller set of goals, the smaller set of actions people will take in the lead up to a conversion. So downloading a white paper, maybe clicking on a video, subscribing to a newsletter, all those ones, right? So once you have either goals set up for your thank you pages, or there's another thing, another, I guess, function you could utilize, which is called event tracking. So you have page-based goals, or you might have event-based goals. So that might be someone clicking a button, clicking a play button, or something like that. Once you've set that up, you can see in Google Analytics, this is right out of the box, what channels, including paid, including social, referral, organic, actually contributed to those goals being completed. Now that's free, right? That's out of the box. But if you did want to take it a step further, or if you had HubSpot or a tool like HubSpot, you can actually see as well where not only where did your visits come from in terms of sources, but how did that source contribute, one, to visits, but then to leads, and thirdly to customers in one simple report. So that's really, really handy to have. Now, the second point is where to start, right? So this one of the stats I quoted was when it comes to proving ROI, 34% of marketers don't know where to start. Last week, I spoke about understanding your cost per acquisition and cost per lead before you start Facebook ads. And the same principle applies with Facebook ads or social media or any type of social media ads or AdWords. Understanding what you are willing to spend to get a sale. You know, are you willing, what do you need to spend to break even, right? That's your cost per acquisition. Then find out all the leads you get in a month. Find out your conversion rate. And now you can work backwards and say, okay, if I'm willing to spend $1,000 or $100 of cost per acquisition, I know I'm only converting a certain percentage of those, therefore I'm willing to spend X cost per lead. So I won't harp on this too much here because I did a really good overview of this last week. Check that out if you're interested. So in short, getting Google Analytics sorted, understanding your goal reports, and understanding your cost per acquisition and cost per leads are my two action items I take to, one, prove ROI by understanding where to start, and two, aligning various marketing channels to reports. Now, the second insight. So I mentioned already, right, 78% of people are using paid and social ads. But let's take a slightly deeper look into social ads from the report. So what are the social media platforms people are using for advertising? Now, for B2B, and this isn't a surprise right away, but LinkedIn ads come in first at 20%. But Facebook ads come in second, actually, at 18%. And Twitter ads on 13%. Now, let's talk about Facebook for B2B for a second, right? I talk to clients and people every day about Facebook ads, because a lot of people are still not convinced it will work for them. And it may not, right? But a lot of people aren't even willing to try. And generally, more often than not, the assumption that it won't work is usually not a plausible one, because the lines between professional and personal browsing are blurred. They're no longer there. People will jump from one thing to another. Now, my advice would be to first start with a very defined and very targeted approach, particularly if you're in the B2B space. My first step would be get the Facebook pixel installed on your site. So the Facebook pixel is a little bit of code that will sit on every page of your website. And over time, what you can actually do is build what is called as a Facebook website custom audience. So if you drop that pixel on your website in the Facebook platform, you'll be able to see the number of all the people who visited your website who are actually on Facebook that you could potentially target. So Facebook recommends once you get a couple of hundred people in that audience, then it is a good time to start targeting them. This dispels the assumption, well, my visitors aren't on Facebook. You could always say, look, let's just give it a go. It's not going to cost us anything apart from the small amount of time dropping that code in there. And you can essentially see what that audience is. And I then would take it a step further. So there's a concept known as lookalike audiences. And the idea there is if you have a custom audience, you can find people who are behaviorally similar to that audience, right? So you might say, okay, cool. for the people who visited my website, I'll give them retargeted ads. You know, Facebook calls them retargeting, Google calls them remarketing. I don't know why, but that's what they call them. So you'll give them a message that is relevant to them. It might be relevant to the product or service page that they visited. But based off that audience, you can create people who are similar to them, and you'd give them a completely separate message. So that's the way I'd actually start and kind of expand. I wouldn't start with interest first particularly. I'd start with website custom audiences and then lookalike audiences. And there's a whole suite of other custom audiences you can target, like email addresses or mobile phone numbers. Now, Facebook was the second most popular medium at 18%, and LinkedIn was 20%. This is, we're still talking about B2B here. Now, to be honest, for a long time, I felt LinkedIn's advertising platform was undercooked. It just isn't there, you know? I mean, Facebook's platform has its own kind of little quirks, but it's a lot better than LinkedIn's one. Now, the thing that I've never really liked about LinkedIn ads is that it used to be, I'm not sure what it's changed now, but it used to be you had to spend $15,000 in a quarter to display ads on LinkedIn. And on mobile ads, the only ads that still come up are the sponsored post ads. Now, again, using the principles of goals and setting up reporting right, it's still worth trialing LinkedIn ads. Because on LinkedIn, of course, you can target roles, you can target industries, you can target the people as opposed to just things that they're searching for. And LinkedIn is going to get a whole lot more interesting. And I just want to make a prediction and say that LinkedIn advertising is about to get really interesting really fast. You may have heard recently Facebook bought LinkedIn for $26.2 billion. Once you get over what that insane amount of money is, think about this. Microsoft owns Bing Ads, which isn't at the AdWords level yet, but it's pretty darn good and it's miles ahead of LinkedIn's ad platform. Now, this is going to be incredible for Bing Ads and a key point of differentiation compared to Google. Because search marketing AdWords is great. It's great for determining intent. What are people looking for understanding what a person wants. But LinkedIn tells us who that person is. So watch this space. I predict big things here and within 2016 as well. So the report goes on. So it doesn't just have all these insights and stats. It actually has key recommendations as well. Key recommendations that you can take to capture more leads. And I'll just share a couple of them with you here. And the first one may actually surprise you with all the mention of social ads, right? The first one is consider cutting back on social media ads. And I'll quickly just read verbatim an excerpt of the report. The report says, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Facebook accounted for 48% of the most commonly used paid platforms. Yet, when asked where their best quality leads are coming from, marketers ranked social media fifth behind organic web traffic, referrals, email marketing, and Google AdWords. Relocating some social media advertising funds to other mediums appears to be one way marketers can experience greater ROI in 2016. Fair point. So let's unpack some of these mediums that are delivering better leads than social media ads. Let's focus on SEO and content marketing. So investing some time and budget there, developing a solid strategy, a consistent strategy, which will help you get better quality leads. And referrals was the other one, right? So having referrals from businesses that you have partnerships with, going out, identifying those, and making conscious effort to share not only just your link on their websites, but also content as well. Now, to that point, I don't want to talk about backlinks because backlinks are a bit of a dirty SEO practice. But I will say content sharing partnerships, right? So consider writing content or giving a special offer to reputable sites that have a similar audience to yours. So yes, it's a little bit of outreach, but I'd first start with partners that you already have before then embarking on outreach and having content and special offers for other websites. Now, the other big one here is CRO, which stands for conversion rate optimization. And indeed, one of the report's recommendations were focusing on CRO. Now, this is a huge topic in its own right. It's a couple of episodes itself. But let me just give you a few quick suggestions here. The first one is an easy one. Again, Google Analytics. There's a report there known as the landing pages report. You may have seen this many times before. And essentially, it shows you all the landing pages. You can rank them from, you know, visits or engagement, all the landing pages people land on to get to your website. And there's a couple of things you should look at here. The first one is engagement metrics. So look at the ones where people are bouncing high on. You know, it's a fairly high numbers of visitors, but they're bouncing high. They're not spending that much time on. Now, one thing I will say, contact pages need to be treated quite differently because contact pages will have a high bounce rate. You know, people will often get your phone number or a piece of information and then bounce. Contact pages are a little bit different. But some of the other pages, like a product page or a pricing page or a service page, something like that, have a look at those. The second thing you'll want to look at there is goals. So assuming you're amazing and you have your goals set up, you can see for each landing page, how did they contribute to goal completions? It's a very powerful report. The other quick tip I'll give you is a paid tool, but an affordable tool known as Hotjar. Now, this is one of my favorite CRO tools, and it will give you a whole bunch of data like heat maps, click maps, and even visitor recordings. And I suggest this particular tool because it replaces a couple of other tools, like SurveyMonkey, for instance, because you can actually conduct surveys from the tool itself. So don't forget to check out the Formstack State of Lead Capture in 2016 report. It's completely free. I believe you don't even have to put in an email address. So check that out. I'm sure you'll find something for you. And I like this because it's not just one of those, oh, we surveyed a couple of hundred people and this is what we said. I like how they contextualize what a lead is, the evolution of a lead, and also some key recommendations. I didn't go through all of them, so check out the other three or four that were in the report. And that's it. That's the end of another episode. If you had as much fun as I did, don't forget to share, subscribe, and review the show on iTunes. And if you have any questions at all, you know where to reach me, at Moby Sadiq on Twitter, or email me, moby@redpandas.com.au. Hope you have a fantastic week ahead and see you next time.
Thanks for listening to Inbound Buzz. Learn anything? Return the favor by spreading the word. Want to make your mark in digital? Need help with your digital strategy, inbound and marketing automation efforts? Then visit redpandas.com.au and be sure to tune in next time for another Inbound Buzz hit.